Vocally speaking, there were at least four Eileen Farrells. Of course, there was the dramatic soprano. There was Eileen Farrell, the concert singer, who was always invigorated by making music with wonderful colleagues. There was Eileen Farrell, the recitalist, who ran the gamut of repertoire in her programs. Here's a sample of her lovely feeling for French art song. Nous n'avons plus de maison. Les ennemis ont tout pris, tout pris, tout pris jusqu'à notre petit lit. Ils ont brûlé les collines et notre maître aussi. Ils ont brûlé l'église, monsieur Jésus-Christ. And finally, there was Eileen Farrell, the singer of American popular song. It was extraordinary how she was so completely able to adapt her sound and her style in that repertoire.
10 cents a dance, that's what they pay me. Gosh, how they weigh me down. 10 cents a dance, weak guys and rough guys, tough guys who tear my gown.
Late in her life, Eileen Farrell collaborated with Brian Kello of Opera News magazine in writing a warm-hearted, frank, thoughtful autobiography called Can't Help Singing. In the book, she confessed that she didn't really have to struggle in her career. Things came pretty easily. Early on, she met people who believed in her, and she sang what she wanted to sing. She was never obsessed by singing. She didn't need it to have a rewarding life. She just loved it. Farrell came from a New England Irish Catholic family, and music was important at home. Her parents were former vaudeville performers, and her mother was her first singing teacher. The family moved around a bit. The town Farrell was most attached to was Woonsocket, Rhode Island, where she got excited about performing when she appeared in HMS Pinafore in high school. At her mother's suggestion, she went to New York to study. One of the great American voice teachers, Eleanor McClellan, gave Farrell a technique that would serve her for 40 years. She was hired for CBS's radio chorus, and 2 months later, she had her own weekly half-hour show. It began in 1941. It was called Eileen Farrell Sings, and it lasted 5 years. The guest stars included everyone from Rhesa Stevens to Frank Sinatra. Here's the theme song from the show, written by Ernest Charles. Farrell became a major radio personality, appearing on many other shows besides her own, but she craved acceptance as a classical singer. She thought the great Lotte Lehmann might give her valuable advice, but all Lehmann had to say was, "I suggest you go home and have lots of babies." But nothing was going to stop this voice from making its presence felt in classical repertoire. Farrell gave a New York recital in 1950 that got huge attention. And that year, she sang her first major operatic role. It was with the New York Philharmonic, and it was a very big deal. Marie in the New York premiere of Berg's Wozzeck, with Dimitri Mitropoulos conducting. Farrell was stunning. Farrell started getting major engagements with orchestras around the country. But her audiences were constantly wondering, why isn't this voice being heard with America's major opera companies? That gave Farrell pause. Her idea of being an opera star involved a certain mystique, a glamour, and she couldn't imagine herself in those terms. There was another stepping stone in the emergence of Eileen Farrell, the opera singer. Interrupted Melody, a Hollywood movie made in 1955. It was the story of the great Australian soprano Marjorie Lawrence, who'd been struck by polio and then made a heroic return to performing. Farrell was the dubbed singing voice of Eleanor Parker, who won an Oscar nomination for playing Lawrence. Hollywood clearly had what we'd normally consider a pretty unrealistic idea of what one operatic voice could do, but Farrell did it all beautifully, whether as a contralto, a lyric soprano, or a dramatic soprano. In 1956, Farrell was finally invited to make her debut in staged opera, singing Cavalleria Rusticana in Tampa. Then came Il Trovatore in San Francisco, opposite Jussi Björling, no less. And in 1957, Farrell arrived at Lyric Opera, singing a role she loved, the smoldering heroine of La Gioconda. Farrell returned to Lyric for more Giocondas in 1959, and 2 years later, she was back for Leonora in La Forza del Destino. Only after Lyric and San Francisco had engaged her did the Met finally start paying attention. Farrell had basically given up on the idea of singing there. She was so shocked when the Met's general manager, Rudolph Bing, called to invite her to join the company that she thought someone was playing a joke on her. Bing offered the title role of Gluck's Alceste in English, although Farrell would have preferred it in French. So the Met debut finally happened in the premiere of a new production of Alceste. Appearances followed in Gioconda, Cavalleria, and Andrea Chenier. But after 1967, Farrell didn't sing opera on stage again. There were concert performances of major scenes from Wagner operas, but Farrell never sang a Wagner role on stage, a huge disappointment for her legions of admirers. She didn't miss opera particularly. She had her recitals, her concerts with orchestra, and for several years, appearances worldwide with the Bach Aria Group. That this massive voice could be reduced to proportions suitable for Bach was something of a miracle. It was in the late 1950s that the world got to know Farrell as a singer of American standards. Ed Sullivan got the ball rolling when he drafted her at very short notice to sing a popular song on his television show. It wasn't long before CBS Records was putting together Farrell's album entitled I've Got a Right to Sing the Blues. It sold fabulously, and it led to three other popular music albums on CBS that introduced Farrell to a whole new audience. Since 1946, Farrell had been married to Robert Reagan, a police officer with the NYPD. The following year, they had the first of their two children. Farrell hated being away from home for more than 2 weeks. For that reason alone, a major international operatic career wasn't really in the cards. She adored performing, but she adored her family life more. Farrell moved to Bloomington, Indiana in 1971 to teach at Indiana University. It was in many ways a frustrating experience, and after 9 years, she left. She wanted to live in Maine, and that's where she and her husband resettled. After a four-decade career, she was suddenly overcome by bad stage fright, and that, more than anything else, brought her live performances to an end. She did make a series of wonderful records of songs by composers she loved, including Harold Arlen, Johnny Mercer, and her great friend, Alec Wilder.
And be a child and run out to play. Don't mind it if the grown-up children laugh, and they may. It's fun to paint your dreams and go find your special hill, and you will. Why not look today?
After her husband died, Farrell lost interest in singing, but she was persuaded to continue with her pop albums, which she did until 1995. She died in 2002 at the age of 82. From reading her autobiography and from listening to her recordings, you can tell that Eileen Farrell was a warm, earthy, direct, what you see is what you get kind of lady. There was an incredible honesty in her singing. She sang straight from her heart and with a sound that stirred the soul.